This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the health care you earned and deserve.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Good morning, folks. November 1st, No Filter Friday today. Hope everyone had a safe Halloween last night. A lot of fun here in our neighborhood. A lot of kids all costumed up. It was a great evening. A lot of candy consumed last evening as well. Got a great lineup for you today. We're going to start right off going to the talk lines on No Filter Friday. We'd love to hear from you. Give us a shout, 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line, and we'll talk about anything that you want to talk about. The election is just a few days away, and what does that mean for you? Have you voted? Do you intend to vote on Election Day? Have you made up your mind? I keep hearing about these undecided voters. Hadn't met any of them yet, but keep hearing about them. It's just kind of curious and mystifying as to who these folks are. When you think about the breadth and depth of the amount of commercials and everything else that's been going on and the amount of data that's out there, it's a little crazy to think that someone has not made up their mind just yet. At 10:30, we'll visit with J.P. Morrell, New Orleans City Council member, about the Wisner Trust and what are the next steps there. Mike Haas joins us, voice of the New Orleans Saints, Saints at Carolina Panthers. This is a must win. The Saints go their favorites, believe it or not. And it's so interesting. Many have said the Panthers are the worst team in the NFL. At 11:30, we'll visit with the medical director of the Tulane University Center for Brain Health, Dr. Gregory Stewart. BrainFest is here, and it focuses on brain fitness and aimed to promote care for traumatic brain injuries within our community. We'll talk about that. 100 days to the Super Bowl. Can you believe it? I mean, we're just whittling it away. So we have our segment that we have every so many weeks, Ramp Up to the Super Bowl 59 with Jay Cicero, president and CEO of the New Orleans Super Bowl Host Committee. We'll also visit with Kim Boyle, chair of the Supplier Diversity Committee, and Walt Leger, president and CEO of New Orleans & Company, talking about all of the unique roles that they're playing as we ramp up. And they're beginning to announce some of the special festivities that will be going on during that Super Bowl week, which is great. They have a great lineup, and we'll talk about those items as well. So give us a call at 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line. I don't know if you heard this interesting story. So you might recall that the Colorado Secretary of State was one that was really pushing the issue about Donald Trump not being on the ballot in Colorado. So much so that the U.S. Supreme Court had to step in and on a 9-0 vote said you can't do that. That there's a whole process for that. States can't eliminate federal candidates and on and on and on. So that issue went by the wayside. Well, this individual the other day sent out sample ballots that actually had and posted it on the Colorado Secretary of State's website. But unfortunately, when she took the Excel file and put that out there on the website, It also had all the passwords to get in to their system. And they had unique passwords for any number of areas during in the system, and they couldn't figure it, and they didn't figure it out until several days later. Of course, they didn't come out and openly or proactively let the public know what was going. No, we had to hide our screw up. And but this gives you another example of people just not taking their job seriously. How can you make these mistakes, right? I mean, it's just that we just are not tuned in, dotting the I's, crossing the T's on any of this stuff. It's absolutely ridiculous. And they wonder why people just don't have confidence in these systems. Because you got whack-a-moles that are running some of this stuff. I mean, this particular individual was more worried about challenging a federal candidate as opposed to handling your own processes and your own business and getting it right. The governor in Colorado, Jared Polis, Democrat, says, "We're now deploying additional state resources to address this unfortunate leak. We want to resolve the current situation quickly." Well, that's an earth-shattering statement. Pretty obvious, though, right? "By lending resources to help get the necessary passwords changed." Good idea. "As quickly as possible." Ditto. "With minimal impact on the county clerk operation." There's a lot wrapped up in those few words, right? Basically, what they're saying, this is a major screw-up of an epic proportion. And they're still trying to figure out what it actually means. So they have to segregate now this database, creating these new passwords, if they are smart, and maybe set up some additional firewalls to make sure that people aren't already in there poking a little nose around, doing whatever they're doing. They don't know. But again, classic example, you want to play politics, you want to go and deal with these other issues and get all wrapped up in a court case and get all wrapped up in spending your constituents' money for what, right? For gaslighting, political gaslighting, and you can't even get your own it right. And we're beginning to see more and more examples of this each and every day. It's amazing to me that elected officials that don't recognize that they're under a microscope. I mean, have they been reading the news? Do they not think that everyone is watching every move they make? Do they have anybody checking and double checking before they put any information out to make sure that even the basics, like they have a period at the end of a sentence or, you know, the words are spelt right, things of that nature? Just kind of look through it, read it, see what's going on. I mean, this is the kind of stuff that just erodes the public's confidence in this. And this is really low-hanging fruit. This is no big deal, right? But one should know that you don't take the Excel spreadsheet and put that up on your website, right? You parch things out into another data set that is labeled for public view to remind you that whatever you put in there, the public's going to see it. That's just a fail-safe. Don't seem to have fail-safes here because we're off and running and trying to challenge other things and doing other things that are of no consequence to the sanctity of the voting process in the state of Colorado. Who do we have, Coleman? Let's go to Rich in Lakeview. Rich, you're up. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for taking my call, sir. Hey, I'm calling about Trump, your favorite subject. I know you have said many times the Republican Party needs to put him in the rearview mirror. But the fact of the matter is the Republican Party hasn't put him in the rearview mirror, and he very well could get elected. But I got to ask, sir. And I'd like your comments after I run to a couple of items here. When does it go too far, man? I mean, when has this guy crossed the line? I mean, if grab him by the vagina, that didn't do it. You know, he surrounded himself with felons like Manafort, Stone, Flynn, Cohen. Weisselberg went to prison twice. Bannon just got out of prison. Trump University shut down. Trump Foundation shut down, both for fraud, millions in fines. The disparagement of John McCain, a real American hero, by a guy who avoided the draft under dubious circumstances. The disparagement of a Gold Star family, calling dead soldiers suckers and losers. Half of his cabinet won't endorse him. His former VP, the head of the DOJ, National Security Advisor, Secretary of Defense, the Chief of Staff. I mean, they've all said this guy's a fascist or he's unfit. He paid off a porn star. He's a convicted felon. By any definition that you can come up with, he is a bona fide official criminal. He's convicted of sexual assault in a civil court. And then you get stupid lie after stupid lie, like Haitians eating dogs, school kids going to school one gender and coming back another gender. But then, and that's fine. You know, if Republicans want to vote for this guy with all of that stupid nonsense, that's one thing. You know, we all have decisions. But for me, as a retired military officer, it crosses the line with the election fraud stuff. You know, in 2010 or 2016, he said Hillary got 3 to 5 million illegal votes, a complete and total lie. 2020, I won in a landslide, preposterous, nonsense. But he's already doing it again. He's already tweeting about voter fraud. And now, at this stage of the game, 70% of the Republican Party believes in this voter fraud nonsense. And that's what it is. It's nonsense. And when you don't have one party who believes that our elections are fair, do we really have a democracy? I mean, where does it go too far, sir? I have to ask you. And then, let's not forget the enemy within. Seriously, I'm not a Democrat, but I'm proudly a liberal. I'm an enemy within. I mean, come on, man. When are you guys going to turn your back on this guy?
Well, first, there's not you guys. And look, that's the beauty of this country, right? That's the beauty of a democracy, is that people can choose who they want to be with for whatever reason it may be. A lot of the pro-Trump votes, I would suspect, are anti-Kamala Harris votes. A lot of the Kamala Harris votes, I would suspect, are anti-Trump votes. Not that they curry favor for either one of these candidates. And I've said over and over and over again, the sad commentary here is that this is the best that we have to offer in this country. Now, if you think that I'm going to fall for the trap of defending Donald Trump with all the litany of things that he's done wrong in his life or the litany of things that Kamala Harris has done in her life, you're wrong. It is what it is. People have to judge for themselves. They're going to end up voting in their own best self-interest. And many folks that I've talked to said that they felt better economically. Their conditions were better at home under the 4 years of Donald Trump as opposed to the 4 years of Joe Biden. Who am I to argue with them? I mean, if that's what they believe and that's what they recognize, their perception is their reality. And I know it frustrates you because you think that you have a candidate that's far superior to Donald Trump, and the Trump supporters believe they have a candidate far superior to Kamala Harris. That's their choice. Those are their choices. You know, we elect people that are former felons that spent time in jail every year. They paid their debts to society. They get elected. I don't criticize that, quite frankly. I never have. That's the system that we live in. That's the body of law that we have. So, I mean, I sense your frustration. You don't like him, and you have every right not to like him. But there are a lot of people that like him, and for whatever reason. There are a lot of people that don't like him, but like some of his policies that they firmly believe in based on their life experience. So, you know, whatever private conversation that was had that was revealed at some later date as a result of a tape or this or that, comments being made. It's all true. It's there. It's all documented. And for whatever reason, in spite of for a long, long time being called a Nazi, a xenophobe, a this or that, and everything else, people still are voting for him. And this country's almost like evenly split. Tuesday's going to be interesting. People ask me every day, what do you think? Flip a coin. Flip a coin. I have no idea. It's going to come down to turnout. And, you know, they're just ingredients that are being brought forth by both sides that a lot of people are turned off about. And then they'll do their little balance sheet and they'll figure out where they want to be. And I mean, that's the beauty of a democracy. The beauty of a democracy. And, you know, when some people are turned off by a whole lot of things, you know, it's interesting. I keep hearing this word divisive, and I've talked about this for two straight days. So I kind of went through a list of where allegedly we were divided, you know. And when folks got pushed on the issue, both Trump and Kamala Harris, it's amazing how their positions, I would say, changed, weakened. They weren't as strong on where they were. Abortion being one, right? Donald Trump has come three degrees, 4 degrees to the left on that issue. Kamala Harris on fracking, she was totally against it. I saw some new videos the other day of speeches that she gave. No way fracking was going to occur. Now she's in favor of fracking. She didn't come 3 degrees. She came all the way over, right? She wanted to close migrant detention centers. Now, that's off the table. She's in favor of migrant detention centers. In fact, they should build more. Totally opposed to the wall. Now she believes that the wall should be built. The policies that the Biden administration changed on day one by executive order or executive action relative to immigration, the vast majority of those that they were promoting because Trump was bad, he was a racist, he was a xenophobe and everything else, they've retreated in almost every single one, and they now favor doing those exact same things. So I keep asking the question of where's the division, right? When Trump talked about we need to produce more energy, more energy, more energy, more energy, what is the Biden-Harris administration bragging about now? That they produce more oil in their 3.5 years, 3.5 plus years, as opposed to the 4 years under the Trump administration. Well, when they were running, that was bad. That's not what we wanted to do. We didn't want to pump more fossil fuels. We didn't want more oil. We didn't want more natural gas. We wanted more EVs. And the issue kept getting pushed, kept getting pushed. And lo and behold, we're not that divided on it because now they're bragging about producing, I think it's 14 million barrels of oil a day. Strange how that has worked. On almost every issue, this label of we're dividing the country, we've actually come closer together. And it's amazing. And I keep waiting for where they're talking about division. And even on aggressive immigration policies, what do we find in the Latino community? A majority of whom believe that that's the right thing to do. Why? Because it has a personal impact to them and their lives, and they recognize it. Many of whom are here legally waiting to try and get a family member in, but they can't. Because the numbers get tweaked all the time when we have, pick a number, because nobody really knows. There's stories from 6 million, 7 million, 12, 14, 21 million, who knows? And who can call anybody a liar? because nobody even knows how many people have come in. That's how pitiful this effort has been made by this country. We ought to be ashamed of ourselves. But everybody recognizes it because, you know what? Democrats and Republicans are closer on an issue right now than they've ever been. What's going to be interesting is to see where they are on November 6th and whether or not we're still going to be as close as we are today on November 6th. If I were a betting man, I would suspect not. So it's going to be interesting. And now when we talk about election integrity, we talk about election fraud, where people get all caught up on this and not really understanding is that there are instances of fraud and failure every day in every state as it relates to elections. The threshold question is whether or not it is enough to alter the outcome of the election. So to talk about these things and to talk about the deficiencies in the election process and system, I don't think it's wise to criticize people to talk about it. Like I talked about this morning with the Colorado Secretary of State. She's off and running trying to get a presidential candidate taken off the ballot in Colorado as though she really believes that she was going to be successful. She was BSing the public. It was all about trying to attack the opposing party's candidate. Meanwhile, she's sending out data with passwords to the database. Really? And then when you call her to task on this issue, they have all kinds of different excuses as to what. No, you just didn't do your job. Pay attention. Wake up. That's a failure. That is an open door to election fraud right there. Ballot boxes. As safe and secure as we thought they were, maybe not so much. They're getting firebombed. Now we're having to go back, spend the money, recreate who these ballots belong to, find them, give them another ballot, tell them that their ballot has been destroyed. We're running forensic testing on ballots because the manner in which we want to collect these ballots, right? We have the problem in Pennsylvania shutting the line. You have till 4:30 to vote. The rule in every state across this country is if you're in line at 4:30, the last person in line at 4:30, that's where the cones go, right? But not in this county. Because they're worried about getting off at 4:30. Really? Are you kidding me? And it's because Pennsylvania, you can go ask for a ballot on that day, right? They're going to give it to you. You're going to have to fill out all kind of attestation statements on a form. They're going to give you the ballot. You're going to vote right there, and then you're going to turn it in. Not many other states do that. And they're complaining about how long the process takes. Well, here's one for you, Pennsylvania. You created the process. So why don't you look yourself in the mirror and think about whether or not you're being fair to your constituents in setting up a bastardized process. And when you go back and look as to the motivations for doing this, you're going to find a whole lot of intentionality that's not all that altruistic. And when it turned against them, people wonder, this is the first time they started putting these cones out at 1:30. How's that work? And it's only in a couple of counties. Wonder why. Now you have a better understanding of why people are reluctant to believe that our system is sacrosanct, because we've set up systems that just don't make sense. We'll be right back. 504-260-1870. We'll visit with JP Morrell when we return.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews, or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the health care you earned and deserve.
It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at tmobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
Go with us. Although Halloween's one day behind us, there are issues that we have floating around the city that seem to lurk and loom and not sure that they ever go away. And J.P. Morrell, city councilman at large, is here to discuss one of those issues. The Wisner Truss just keeps coming back and back and back, J.P.
It does. It seems like it is like a zombie that every time we think we put it down, with the heirs and all the greedy hanger-ons, they just seem to figure out some way of trying to resuscitate it. What was an interesting twist this time is for the first time, Newell went to the Fourth Circuit and we actually won, as opposed to always having to go to the Supreme Court to get it done right.
It's incredible. A trust that has expired for some way or reason has been on life support for a long time, and everyone's still benefiting except the city that should be the primary beneficiary.
Well, I mean, it's not unusual that when you have a trust with a bunch of heirs who are used to pulling a free check, when it expires and the money's supposed to go to the city as it is, I mean, let's get back to a little bit of history. The mayor illegally continued the trust, and as you know, in that illegal kind of continuation, it served her purposes because she got to get a chunk of money that came directly to her purview with no council oversight. And that was really the exchange in that deal. She got a chunk of money because had the trust dissolved, that money just would have went to the city of New Orleans as citizens and would have been incorporated into the budget as a revenue stream. Instead, the mayor illegally signed a continuation of this trust, which was illegal because the council didn't approve it. She removed all oversight of the money. That became a slush fund to her to send a program she preferred. And the heirs, who got a larger chunk of the trust, even though the trust had expired, they got to have their money, and everyone in their little cabal was happy. And the council, this new council in particular, stepped up. We sued over it, and we just keep winning. And they just keep trying to come up with new zombie solutions so that they can have access to the money. And Newell, the big difference right now is that this council is so fed up with the greedy, awful efforts of the trust and the other heirs that we're not just going after ending the trust, Newell. We're going after getting our money back from all the sums they've illegally obtained since the trust dissolved, which is tens of millions of dollars.
So what happens in this case when you have a public official, the mayor of the city of New Orleans, involve themselves in a decision-making process whereby, by ordinance, does not have the authority to do so? How do you remedy that?
Well, basically, the way we remedied it was by the council suing in its own capacity and the mayor and the heirs wasting years challenging whether the council had standing. And really, Newell, it's kind of ironic because not only did they lose the case in making us fight this fight by having the Supreme Court establish the council has standing to sue, what the mayor ultimately did, as you probably know, Newell, she weakened the office of the mayor. Because now that we have the standing to sue in Wisner, we have the standing to sue in a whole lot of things where the mayor decides to abuse the law, but abuse the charter, abuse ordinance, that we as a separate recognized legislative branch of government have the standing to intervene. And I mean, Wisner has been the most bombastic and obvious instance of us exerting that power, but I don't doubt that in some area we're probably going to have to exert that power over and over again over the next year and some change.
Is there ever a case where, like, and I don't know if this is just an exercise of just, you know, doing something for the sake of the appearance of a mandamus against the mayor to come out and undo the deal herself, to compel her under the law to say there's no deal?
We have been in that awkward dance since the start. As you know, we're represented by private counsel because the city attorney chose to take the mayor's side. And that in itself is very, very, very problematic. As you know, the council and the mayor are jointly the city of New Orleans. And yet in every instance we've had, if the mayor takes a different position from the council, the city attorney, this city attorney, sides with the mayor and compels us to get outside counsel, which is expensive. It's expensive and unnecessary, but it's something the city attorney and the mayor together make us do. Now, mind you, our private attorneys are better than the city attorney, which is why we keep winning this case. But to your point, it is very awkward that we, as half of what counts the city of New Orleans, do not have the benefit of taxpayer counsel, but the mayor does to prevent the city council and the citizens of the city from having access to money, which we could use to improve the lives of the people of the city.
Yeah, I mean, remind me as to the sum of money that would mean to the city every year.
The numbers fluctuate because obviously it's tied to oil and gas revenue and rentals, but it's easily either directly below or around $10 million a year.
Yeah, so nothing to sneeze at.
Nothing to sneeze at.
You know, the bonding capacity of that would be nice, quite frankly, if there was something you needed to get it done now.
The bonding capacity, I mean, we would have the ability to look at what the potential sale of that property versus the revenue, we could do a one-time sale, we could bond the revenue, we could dedicate that revenue to different programming or resources that we think are necessary, but it would just be one thing, as you know, government always prefers is revenue streams when possible, because a reoccurring revenue stream is a real precious thing, which allows us to fund things for an extended period of time. And certainly if we had the ability to that secured revenue, we would have the ability to do a lot of things with it and incorporate that into the public budget in a transparent way. What's really very telling is that in the rush to secure that original continuation, one of the contingencies was giving the mayor of the city of New Orleans exclusive control over it with no council oversight. That was very telling, Newell, because under the previous trust, the council had oversight. That was something this mayor added in that didn't even exist before this mayor.
But how do you are there other funds that the city receives that the council has no oversight over?
Not to my knowledge. I mean,
or isn't it a general statement in the city charter that's part of your role?
Generally speaking, when it comes to revenue allocation and budgeting, it's all the council. There are occasionally different revenue streams, a lot of which come from the state level, where there are different boards that have oversight. If those boards are primarily mayoral appointees, then the mayor kind of has oversight. But for most part, if money comes into the city for the city's exclusive use, the council has authority over it.
Do you find it odd that the mayor's mentality in dealing with other buckets of money themed as fair share, that has anyone asked her about the fair share relative to
Well, I think the idea, generally speaking, I mean, to answer your question straightly, it's very hypocritical, because when you're talking to private industry, with the fight we had, aggressive negotiation when I was in the legislature with the hotel motel industry, with the entertainment hospitality industry to secure those monies for infrastructure, it was about what is the highest and best use for public funds. When you look at how Wisner has been handled, it is absolutely the opposite of fair share. It's my share.
Yeah, it's amazing how we get to pick and choose our outlook, our mentality, our approach to these different buckets of money, right? It just doesn't make much sense.
No, it doesn't at all.
And now we are faced, and I don't know if you want to talk about it at all or opine on it, but she's repeating the same behavior again. I mean, just most recently with the announcement of the promotion list with NOPD, she goes and interjects herself in it, and I don't know why, nobody seems to understand why, accuses her deputy chiefs of exercising bias, which that's not a healthy thing, right? I mean, that doesn't do a lot for the confidence of the that people will have in the NOPD, and just let that float out there and not ever, you know, articulate what it is that she's talking about. What bias?
No, I mean, I think the challenge when you look at how the whole entire promotion scandal has rolled out is, and I think it's really important to say this specifically, we haven't had a new major in the NOPD in over, I want to say, 20 years, Noel. New majors.
Yeah,
new major exam. And part of the conversation this council had with my lead, with Chief Kirkpatrick, is you can't have this many captains not supervised by majors. And the idea that was created in the Landry administration of, like, politically appointed deputy chiefs, that's fine and dandy, but there's a specific organizational structure that includes the major position. What really bothered me, and it buried the lead, is we, for the first time in two decades, have new majors that were on the cusp of being announced. And that was a huge morale boost to the officers, because majors are promoted on merit, not on political appointment. So you had two new majors coming online, six new captains. The first promotions in either of those fields in a decade, because captains, we haven't had new captains in forever. And in an instance, because when you're as an officer looking at that, these are the positions where the promotions by merit, not by who you know. The moment they're about to get announced, you have a political person intercede because they don't like who was picked and say, bias happened. Well, honestly, the entire process of selecting those individuals is less biased than a mayor picking a chief and a mayor dictating the chiefs which deputy chiefs can be there. It's the least biased selection process there is by its design. And not just that, to your point, if you're going to say there's bias, well, then say what the bias is and say how it happened.
Let me ask, I don't like
the people that were picked. It's biased.
Let me ask the question this way. I think I know you pretty well, right? We've known each other a long time. Let's assume for a moment you're a deputy chief and this mayor accuses you of participating or engaging in a process that has exhibited bias. I don't know that you sit back and not say anything. I know I wouldn't. I would be pissed.
You have to remember, Newell, that I can imagine
JP giving one of the best speeches he would ever have given in his life if he was accused of that.
But the difference is, one, she didn't identify where the bias happened, so she didn't name a deputy chief that did the bias.
But that's even worse. It's like all of y'all involved in bias.
but But remember, those deputy chiefs, they don't have civil service protection. So it would be more, it actually would be more appropriate if you had an appointed major or appointed captain, they would be actually be in a position to call out the mayor on the bias because they would be protected in doing so. You're not going to see a deputy chief step out there because a mayor can demote a deputy chief.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it just, I don't know. It's kind of frustrating for certain. As always, JP, I love the conversation. Thank you so much. I truly appreciate it. Hope you and your family had a great Halloween evening last evening and have a great weekend.
You too. Thanks, Noel.
Thank you, sir. JP Morrell, City Councilman at Large, City of New Orleans. We will be right back, folks. Stay with us. Welcome back, folks. Just a reminder, election night, November 5th, myself, Dave Cohen, John Cuvion from JMC Analytics, we will be on air from 8 to 12 with talking about the election and analysis of same as the votes come in. We'll be looking at a number of different things. In fact, John Cuvion will be on the air with me Monday, and we'll kind of lay out the roadmap of what we hope to achieve Tuesday evening from 8 to 12. We're looking forward to that. So join us right here on WWL AM, FM, 105.3 FM, 870 AM. We have a lot of fun doing it. Got a couple of issues. We have, one or two races to talk about here in Louisiana. Nothing that's really hotly contested at this point in time, but we'll be following, obviously, the swing states. We'll be following some of the counties within those swing states that we know historically have been difference makers in the election, and talking about those particular counties and what they mean. Already we're getting a lot of notifications from states that are warning people that because of the amount of early voting, it may delay election day voting results. And you're going to ask why? Because a number of states do not allow the process of opening and processing ballots until the morning of election day. And some go even further. They have specific time that they can start during that day. So there's a whole host of different rules in each and every state. Unfortunately, if history repeats itself, some of these swing states have historically been very slow. In fact, Arizona was just saying they believe they may not have their final count until Friday, November the 8th. So strap in, be patient, because it looks like we're going to be talking about this for at least a whole nother week as we try to shake out all these votes and find out where they all fall and what it means and everything else. And if the projections are right, and this is as much of a toss-up as they say it is, it actually could be from Tuesday to Friday a long 4 days. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Folks, when we come back after the top of the hour news break, we'll visit with Mike Haas, voice of the New Orleans Saints. The Saints take on the Carolina Panthers. They're out there in Carolina. It is a must win. Most people believe that Carolina is the worst team in the NFL. The Saints are actually going into their house favored by a boatload of points, so that's interesting. And in the back half of the next hour, Dr. Gregory Stewart joins us, medical director, Tulane University Center for Brain Health. They're going to have an open house, Brain Fest, on Saturday, November 2nd, 9 to 12, at the Tulane Center for Brain Health on Houma Boulevard. We'll talk about that event. We'll talk about the importance of some of the information that they're able to provide there as well. So stay with us. We'll be right back after the break. This is Newell on WWL.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the health care you earned and deserve.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.